there are a lot of possibilities in life, and to have faith in the process. And if you make a few little mistakes or encounter a few hiccups along the way, it's just part of life, the
Part of the
process. You just gotta
process.
push through and move on.
Hi, welcome back. Welcome back. And if you're still wondering why did you open this? Well, you're in the right position because you're trying to plant a self seed. You're trying to plant your own seed of personal development. And my name is Iman. I'm the host of the Self Seed Podcast. And this is episode 16, season 3, episode 16. And today we are with Nicola Lee, where we're going to try and embrace the hustle and bustle of Shanghai life. And we're going to look at Shanghai from another perspective. And I hope today's story will be nice, will inspire you, maybe will encourage you, maybe to follow your dreams. Yeah, I mean, Nicole likes to follow her dreams. So maybe it will inspire you to follow her dreams, your dreams, and maybe it will also inspire you to come to Shanghai. So welcome to the Self Seed Podcast. And you know, the Self Seed Podcast is available on all major platforms, you know, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, and many more, even YouTube. Yeah, if you're listening to this, probably you're listening on Spotify or YouTube or Apple Podcast. So thank you for tuning in. Remember to subscribe. Remember to let me know your thoughts over each episode, and especially today's episode, where we are going to have a friendly conversation. You know, one of those friendly conversations. So welcome, and I would like to take this opportunity on your behalf, the audience, to welcome Nicola to the episode. Welcome, Nick.
Hello everyone. I'm Nicola. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm from New Zealand, so I'm half Chinese, half Kiwi, and I was born in China and raised there for 13 years, and went to high school in New Zealand, and now I'm back to continue my studies in university as a business student. So it's a pleasure to be here with Aman today. Thank you for having me.
That's very cool. That's very cool. You're very much welcome, and just feel I would like to say feel at home, but feel like in the podcast, but yeah, at home, you know. And I hope you'll enjoy. You can go through every room, you can just walk around, and you can share with us your thoughts, what you think about our house of the Self Seed. Yeah. And oh, the people from New Zealand, they call them Niwi, like how they
Kiwi.
call people from Australia Aussie.
Yeah, so in Australia they call them Aussie, so derived from Australia, but in New Zealand we call ourselves Kiwi because we have a national bird
Oh, it's
called
Kiwi.
Kiwi, and so that's how New Zealand people got their names, and that's how
Oh,
you refer New Zealand people
it's
as a
not like a
Kiwi.
kiwi fruit.
Yeah,
It's
like a
not.
kiwi fruit, pretty much, yes. It's
So
quite
which one was it?
interesting.
Was it the kiwi bird or like the kiwi fruit? Which one is it?
I'm pretty sure it's both. We are very well known for both the kiwi bird and the fruit, so I'm fairly certain it's the bird though, because it's our national bird, so it'd make the most sense.
You know, one of the I have this brand called Aussie, and it does sponsor this podcast, right? And whenever I write on Google Aussie, by the way, the Self Seed Podcast is sponsored by Aussie Outdoor, so head on to www.aussiegroup.com to check out their products and services. Why do I like to say their our products and services? But yeah, whenever I write on Google trying to see how are we doing so far, and I just write Aussie, and usually Google says Aussie, you know, the Australian Aussie. And
Oh,
I don't know why
typical.
people tend to think that this is like Australia and stuff, but I mean, Aussie is the French word also. So anyways,
Oh,
it's nice
true.
to know about the kiwi.
Yes, fellow Kiwi myself.
So you're a kiwi yourself.
Yes,
How?
the only Kiwi that I know of in Shanghai at the moment. I haven't met any other fellow Kiwis.
Kiwi, ki kiwi,
No,
ki kiwi, kiwian, kiwi,
Kiwi.
kiwis.
Just Kiwi,
Just Kiwi.
Kiwi. Yes.
No, I was trying to find if the people from New Zealand are called Kiwi. So I was trying to, you know, put the way they say, like IAN or E's or something. So yeah, don't mind me.
No,
It's so nice, you know, we almost talk virtually, right?
you're good.
We never met, and it has been, I think, great. And even the first time we had a call, it was just awesome. And we exchanged, like, we were trying to understand how we were going to do this episode, and maybe at that instance, just a little bit, you shared a little bit of your story with me, and it kind of made me, okay, you know, I want to hear more about this person. I want to hear your story. Yeah, pardon me if you, the title called Embracing the Shanghai Bustle with you, Nicole, on the podcast doesn't really highlight everything that you do, but the aim is to, you know, bring that energy you have over there and, you know, bring it to the world and bring it to me and, you know, understand how your journey has been. So in that manner, I would like you to take us through maybe your journey. You can share with us, you know, how it has been and like from wherever. The timeline is so long. So you choose where you'd like to start from. But yeah, to hear where you are, you can just, you know, take us through the movie. That's what I like to say.
Okay. Every,
like the epic story. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
You're very much welcome.
I'm not quite sure where to start. I'd say just
follow your first thought and like,
my first thought. Okay. Yeah. So I'd say the first thought I have in my head that really started this journey with coming here and being who I am today is my last year of high school. So I was a senior student, year 13, and I took on a lot of responsibility during my last year.
Right.
So I was a very active, involving student, and I loved being part of lots of clubs and committees and all sorts of creative arts. So I took on the role of being the deputy head of art that year, which meant I had to manage two to three committees underneath me. And I was also president of the Leo Club, which is a volunteering club where we helped raise funds and contribute towards charity events and things like that. So other than that, I still had many other things I was participating that was really focused on student well-being and safety as well. So it was a very full-on year for me, and that was very difficult to manage because I took a lot on my plate and kept saying yes to this, yes to that. So I guess you could say this was a stage where I was really into people pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really putting myself first. But through that, I learned how to prioritize what was the most important to me. So I had to let some responsibilities go and take a step back from that because I had to prioritize my mental state and well-being and all that. So that was very, very rewarding. It was a difficult time, but extremely rewarding in terms of learning how to manage my time, focusing on myself, as well as working in management as well, because I took on many leadership roles. And it was then when I realized that I wanted to continue working in a management situation as like a leader of a managing group, so basically a manager. So that's when I decided to go into business administration and pursue my degree in China here in Shanghai. So what's interesting is that many people don't understand why I'd leave New Zealand, a lovely, beautiful country of 5 million people, and come here to Shanghai to study. Many people ask me, like, why on earth would you come here? Like, why? New Zealand's great. And they really do question it because they think, well, New Zealand's such a great place, why would you leave it?
Mm.
Well, I knew I wanted a totally different environment for while I was doing university, and I wanted to be in a place that was full of diversity from people all over the world that was all here to experience something new and different. Even though Shanghai was once a home to me, but that was almost 8 years ago, so it's no longer familiar to me as it once was, so it was still a new adventure for me. And I knew I wanted to be in a very vibrant, fast-paced place, and one that was just full of many possibilities and opportunities. And so I just felt like this was the place to be, and it was a good call because I really, really have enjoyed it immensely. And so upon arriving, this was when I learned how to get my own foot and grounding in Shanghai. So understanding how to do everything on my own and living by myself and among many other things. But I really enjoyed this life that I've created for myself, very independent life and friends here and there and people that I've met all across Shanghai from different events and organizations. And it's just been absolutely incredible. And it's really helped me experience a lot more than I feel I would have gotten back in New Zealand. So yeah, I'm very, very happy that I came here to Shanghai. So another thing that I found really, really valuable was that when I came to Shanghai, I was mostly focused on the academics and the social aspect, right, but only in the university student sense. So socializing with your friends, going out, exploring Shanghai whilst focusing on your academics. So I wasn't really exploring what else Shanghai had to offer, but it was thanks to my very good friend Ella, who was also on this podcast previously, back. And she started introducing me. So I started working with her and she introduced me to all the possibilities outside of school. And that was all across Shanghai. And I started volunteering and as a host or as a helper for events and going to all these events. And that really opened up my eye and perspective of the real business world in Shanghai. And getting that exposure made me realize, like, wow, I really want to put myself out there and work hard other than focusing on my academics and the social side and just get ahead, you know, and make that way for myself. And I'd say it's going really, really well right now because I've found it absolutely incredible, just the most rewarding experience. So yeah, I wouldn't be where I am today for all of those, that's for sure.
That's very nice. That's very nice. And I don't feel like you just said you stated that you're grateful for making that choice, that move of moving from where you were to this new place. And I mean, Shanghai is a mega city, is one of the busiest cities in the world. Not just expensive, not just, I mean, life in general. That's why even the episode is called the bustle of Shanghai and the hustle and bustle of Shanghai. I mean, it's how in the first place, how was it? Was it so difficult to cop in, as you stated that 8 years ago it's the time that you were in Shanghai, and now we know how, especially Chinese cities, how they can change in just a short time. Let's say just in terms of architecture, the environment, it can change. 8 years is so long. And with that aspect is, you being of, both nationalities, being a Kiwi and being a Chinese, how has it helped you that time to cope with, the first heat wave of, coming to Shanghai, How was it? Did you feel like a foreigner?
Well, to be honest, I feel like I'll always feel like a foreigner no matter where I am, because I'll always look different from everyone. So whether I'm in New Zealand or China, I'm always viewed as a foreigner. They know I'm not from there, or I don't look like it. So even in China, I'm always viewed as that foreigner. And if I start speaking Chinese, they think I'm Russian. So they'll never really realize that I'm mixed blood, so I'm half Chinese. So but fortunately, thanks to my background of moving around quite a lot in China and moving to New Zealand, I feel that I was very much equipped with the skills to adapt to a new environment. So in terms of coming here from the very start, it was definitely hard, but it was also hard in the sense that I was very much alone in it by myself. Right. So in terms of the culture and the how evolved everything is, in terms of like how all the technology is from your phone, there's no like credit cards, people don't use wallets. I brought a massive wallet here and I don't use it
anymore. Don't have a wallet.
Exactly. So those things were, I got used to them just fine, but it was more so a matter of trying to arrange everything by myself. And really, you were immediately independent the moment you came here, because it was also during the times of COVID.
Right.
So it was also really, really hard trying to get around and getting started during the first month because you also had the quarantine requirements that you had to meet. So, but before that, you also had to get your phone number sorted or else you'd be in a bit of a sticky situation. So there are lots of things that you really had to figure out on your own. And without much assistance, unfortunately, because all the students were coming in different ways in their own time. So the teachers weren't really able to give their full time or assistance in that sense. So most of it, we really had to figure it out on our own. So that was quite difficult. But fortunately, after the moment I arrived to my where I was staying, I met lots of international students and they made me feel very welcomed. And sort of became like family to me. So that really, really helped in the sense of settling down in Shanghai during the first few months. But yeah, and of course I did get a little bit homesick maybe during the first month, but after a while, you don't really think much about it. You're enjoying life too much to really think about home.
Everything just goes back to normal.
Yeah, pretty much.
that's I think a good journey you have had and you are having, and I'm pretty sure you're enjoying every bit of it where you are. And one thing that intrigues me is, you know, how I even always tell Ella's from time to time, like the opportunities, you know, in Shanghai, the exposure that, you know, you can easily get. Like, I'm in many groups and these business groups, and most of the things that happen, if it's offline, they're Shanghai and Shanghai. It's like Shanghai is like Europe of China. It's where, oh, it's America of China. And it's just so, so nice to see that. But at the same time, I think it comes with a lot of competition, a lot of pressure, a lot of difficulties from time to time. It just, the difficulty just changes names, you know. And you came back when it was COVID, right? The COVID time where China was just, China was China. And so I want you to express to me, how is it out there? You know, how is it in Shanghai? Yeah, we all are keeping up with life everywhere we are, in each city, in different parts of the world. So make someone who is not in Shanghai understand what it means to rush to Shanghai, what it means to the everyday life. You know, they usually make content creators, they make that a day in my life.
Okay. So you like me to put in words, a day in my life, basically.
Yeah, like how is life in Shanghai, especially for a young person, a youth, a person who is interested in innovation or management or school education in general, or just, you know, it's a first environment. We know that it's it has its unique aspects. So how do you manage just the hustle and bustle of the city itself?
Hustle and bustle of the city, all right. So
yeah, this is not my episode. I could have talked about the hustle and bustle of my city, but
but basically the hustle bustle of Shanghai. So like from a day-to-day, like how it might look in Shanghai, for me, it's really people packed, especially during rush hour. It's very hectic and crazy, and not many people like this, but I personally really enjoy it.
You told me this really on the phone and I was like, hey, enjoy.
I remember. It does strike some people as quite odd, but I really enjoy like following the mass crowd into like switching lines to another line and just standing there, even though you've squished packed like sardines. Quite sticky and sweaty, you know, but like you feel like you're part of the hustle bustle. Everyone's going to work, everyone's on the way to go do something, and you know, you're part of that, even though it might be a very small little part of it, like a little ant, but you're still part of it, you know. And just it feels like you're really part of Shanghai in that sense. But like with what Shanghai has to offer for people that might not know so well, is that it's so, so diverse in every aspect possible. And especially in the startup side of things and technology and AI. So there are many events that really cater towards these. And just so many events. And the main things that you need to make sure you're in, like, the right WeChat groups to have access to these events. And then there's such a great way to go networking, meeting people that have the same area of interest as you. And it's just such a great way to put yourself out there and really get all the possibilities. And other than that, for students that really enjoy, like, exploring, Shanghai is the perfect place for it. Like, we have so many beautiful different places, like the French Concession and the Financial District and all that. And for me, I really like walking, so I mostly just walk around Shanghai as much as possible in the beautiful places lined with oak trees. And but they're also very nice touristy places. But one thing that I do have to point out is that if you're looking for, in terms of a very authentic or cultural experience, Shanghai wouldn't be the place for that, unfortunately, because it is so developed and just modern. It's very modernized, developed. And if you are hoping for a more cultural experience, you'll find most of the cultural places or touristy places a bit more commercialized. That's how I'd like to put it. Right. So it's still lovely, but if you're looking for a more authentic experience, Shanghai might not be the right place. But Shanghai is just so big and vibrant that it really does make up for the things that you might not get. And yeah, it's absolutely incredible.
That's nice. That's nice. I mean, it's so nice that there are many, because the more you expose yourself to certain types of environment, it's the better, the higher the chances you have of, you know, landing on either on a space or on a position or on anything that you really like want. Or because, I mean, it's kind of an experiment because the more you put yourself, let's say, in, you said WeChat groups that are for, you know, the right groups, you attend networking events, you attend conferences, webinars, and so on and so on and so on. At the end, it's like among all of this, you will come out with something that you really are, you can rush to. But one thing that came to my mind along this conversation of, you know, explaining about the cities that we are in, is the thought that, do you think the city that you're in or the environment that we are in impacts your, let's say, creativity, your mindset, your spirit, your entrepreneurship spirit, if you have, or your skills? Do you think it does so far?
It definitely, most definitely, 100% does.
Like, one example is, if you were in New Zealand and right now you're in Shanghai, do you think you'd have been the same person? Or do you think a youth who is in New Zealand right now is missing something by not being in Shanghai?
I'd say by being in Shanghai, I've gotten more skills, more knowledge, more learning out of this experience and process. Whereas if I were in New Zealand, because in Shanghai, well, it goes two ways in terms of how it might impact my mentality, my skills, and my learning. So so the right way, it'd be more like, because of going out to events and taking up volunteer opportunities, I've learned how to communicate and improv on stage. And many other skills. And whereas it does also affect your mentality, because especially for me, coming from New Zealand, or maybe perhaps it's just because it's me, I do have a big love for nature and creativity, so I'm a very artistic person. But I have been struggling to find outlets for my creativity here. Especially in terms of the visual side, so I just turn in, such as painting, which I really, really enjoy. But due to just space and inconvenience, I couldn't make it work. So I've tried things like music and crocheting, which I really enjoy immensely. bit of an old lady activity, but brings me a lot of happiness. And but the big one as well is also nature. So I love immersing myself in nature, going on hikes and walking around lots of trees, being away from all the modernized stuff and technology, you know, just
maybe one time you can join one of our OC adventure trips and
I might just, that would be lovely.
We'll invite you
for sure. Send me an invitation for your next trip. I love that. But so to find that certain nature in Shanghai can be quite difficult because unfortunately, parks don't quite cut it.
It's not the same.
You understand. So so for me, sometimes it does get quite full on in terms of the hustle bustle, especially if you're very active, you're constantly going out to events or you've got lots of work you need to get done outside of school. So just trying to manage that and avoid burnout and being overwhelmed. So I try to stay as active as possible. So I gym, I run, but it can still get to you in the very end, unfortunately. So, and that's why I turned to taking weekend trips to travel around Zhejiang province, so around Shanghai city. So I sort of get away from it all and just immerse myself in a different place, a change of scenery, I guess you could say. So I just reset all of my gears so they're not constantly going at that same crazy pace.
That's nice. I was about to ask the next question was, how do you find joy and fulfillment? But I guess I grabbed a couple of, you know, a lot of things on how you, I've answered myself the question. Do you maybe want to say something else additional to like, how do you find joy and fulfillment? Because I have seen that you do try to do the things that give you joy. You just say the two activities that nowadays you try and do. You even go out for walking weekends. You try to run away from the city. All of this is you trying to bring back your joy and make sure that every time you're feeling, you know, balanced and your life is okay, not just always, you know, caught up with the concrete jungle, but sometimes you try to put yourself in the middle of nature. There are other methods that you use in finding joy and fulfillment?
A big one is spending time with people. I find that also brings me a lot of joy. So I really enjoy spending time with my friends. They bring me a lot of joy, but also another thing that I find that brings me a lot of joy is meeting new people that share common interest, or perhaps I can have interesting conversation where we have different opinions on certain aspects and we have a very good space to just open up and just share our opinions. And I love meeting people that also inspire me. This brings me a lot of joy, a certain amount of adrenaline, I guess you could say. And it makes me like, wow, this world is full of so much incredibleness and just incredible people. And that brings me an immense amount of joy, is just meeting incredible people or even spending time with them, especially when I find them very inspiring. So because that sort of gets me into the spirit of wanting to do more, put myself out there more. Yes,
that's very nice. That's very nice. I mean, when we meet new people, they come with new opportunities, they come with new ways of thinking, they improve our ways of communication, they improve our ways of, you know, expression and just the relationship nature of the human being. It just so much, it's so important. And I think that's a good thought. I like more the part where you say stuff about traveling and your creative artistic side, like design stuff, right? And you, as I've watched your moments, and I've seen that you've been to a lot of beautiful places. As an outdoor enthusiast myself, and as a fan of, you know, going out there in the bushes and stuff, I've seen you've gone to a lot of good places and you have had good experiences. And it's just out of curiosity, like, how is your, you know, travel and design experience at this point? What sparked your interest? Was it, as you said, maybe it's just where you came from? Was it really where you came from, or was it just, like me, I love the fresh air, I love the birds, hearing the birds. I just have that activeness, that thought where I'm with myself and the nature, how they like to say. Yeah, so I think that's for me, but how about you?
So for me, I'll start with the design. So it's been difficult trying to continue the design, the creative side of things, because unfortunately I lack the tool to continue that. So, but I have done a bit of sewing last year when I was at my Chinese grandmother's, and currently I do a bit of design in terms of my knitting and crochet, so I can make very unique designs with that, and that is a way that I find that really helps with unleashing my creativity. But I really, really do miss painting, so that's one that I'd really like to get back into if I do get the chance once I settle somewhere properly. Whereas in terms of the travel, so that started, so the travel chapter in my life started, I guess you could say, last year in 22-3. So early on last year, after COVID sort of quieted down, I had this friend from New Zealand that was traveling around Southeast Asia, and I saw it through her socials, and I was like, wow, this looks incredible. I want to do that. And I was like, well, I can definitely do that. So I started off by going on small little trips around China, around Shanghai by myself. So that's how I slowly built my confidence in traveling alone. And when I found I was comfortable with doing that, I was like, well, why not go bigger?
Why not go bigger, yeah?
Exactly. So I was very ambitious, but during my summer holiday last year, I bought myself a backpack, a 50-liter backpack, a big one, and decided to go backpacking around Southeast Asia. So I went to Thailand for the first week, and then went to Cambodia by myself for 3 weeks, where I solo traveled from the north to the south. And then I went through Vietnam and Laos for a month with my father. So it was a very different combination of traveling. So I traveled with friends, I traveled alone while meeting new people on the way, and then finally I traveled with my father. So those were all totally different ways of traveling, and I loved every single one of them, but I especially loved backpacking. So traveling while meeting new people at the same time. So that was an incredible experience. I found that by traveling, I got to learn so much in terms of culture, the people, but not just of the country that I was in, but also of the other travelers that I was with. There's so much openness, so much sharing of cultural differences and different perspectives, and oh, it was just brilliant. And you're also at a state where you're just you, so there's no need to have a certain formalities, or you didn't have to behave a certain way. So you're at your most, I'd say, authentic state, which was really quite precious. And you could also, it wasn't also just authentic, but it was almost childlike, because you're almost revisiting those joys that you'd get more often when you're a child than you would be now. But you still find them, that you still find those same things that bring you a lot of happiness. And so that was an incredible and beautiful experience. And I found myself growing so much for that, because it taught me how to be independent, manage challenging situations on my own and with people as well, because not everyone you meet while you're traveling are necessarily cool people. So how to not get scammed. it did happen to me. So after that, I realized how not to get scammed and how to haggle and all sorts of incredible things. And I got to experience amazing things, and had many of my first times while traveling. So first time riding a scooter, first time went paragliding, and then I got to do all kinds of crazy things. And the relationships I made along the way as well, with the connections with the people,
with the people that you
met, the travelers, it was just so rewarding. Like, I still have the contacts, And every now and then we just pop in, say, drop by and just say hi, ask each other how we're doing, and just still show that support for each other from afar, even though we're living totally different lives right now. But another thing that I found that was really special about going traveling around those countries was that it showed me a different perspective on life, the simplicity of how one could possibly live their lives. So you got to see people in the States where they had very minimal things. So so for example, they didn't have massive infrastructure that were very well built, and they didn't have nice fancy toilets or showers and whatnot. So they lived in the most simplest wooden houses that might have holes in them, no insulation, and with very little to get on. But yet, one of the most incredible things about traveling in those places was this amount of happiness they still had, and this overpowering friendliness, and just they seem so, I don't know if they were content with how they were living, but yet with all that they had, they're still able to show their kindness towards me, and even just giving me a smile as I walked by. It just really, it made you realize, like, wow, it's powerful. It's really, really powerful. And it just made me so grateful for all the things I had, and made me realize how insignificant many of my problems were, because it's just, I have so much to be grateful for. Why would I enlarge the minor problems simply because they're there? Why not just appreciate what you have in the moment, you know? So that showed me a whole new way of thinking. And now I'm really much more focused on the things to be grateful for in life and making the most out of that, repaying the kindness that people have shown me, and passing on that kindness and happiness that others have shown me during my travels. So that was really, really touching and quite life-changing. So yeah, I've learned to become content with what I have, which is the biggest lesson of all, I'd say.
That's beautiful. I mean, traveling just usually brings a new energy, a new life in you, especially if you really immerse yourself into it, not just going for, let's say, for social media or for something. If you really immerse yourself into it, it has always brought about extreme satisfaction, like the activity itself. And one thing that I caught my attention and I wanted to ask, do you think that traveling, like how you have started last year and so far and how you are doing, does it have to be costly? Does it have to be expensive or something like that?
No, not at all. So because my trip was self-funded, so I worked and saved for my 2 months of travel, as well as the travel that I just did, which was in the Philippines for a month. And what I find is really helpful is that there are many different ways of traveling, and it depends on every person how they like to travel, you know. So you maybe the more high-end vacation type. So if you're vacationing, you go to maybe a nice hotel, you book tours, and pretty much everything's organized or something on that lines. So I like to consider myself a traveler, not as much of a tourist, but a traveler. So I like to really immerse myself in the culture, get the most authentic experience, I guess you could say. So that, in that sense, you're sort of backpacking. So you're traveling and living out of a backpack for as long as you can. So there are no suitcases involved. It's just a backpack. And you meet many of these people on the way. And most of them, I'd say, are Europeans. And I haven't met many that come from New Zealand. I don't think it's very common. And Europeans and Australians, the Aussies, they love backpacking. But it's definitely very, very affordable. It's just a matter of if you're willing to put up with it, because there are many parts throughout your journey that you'll find that are quite perhaps rough or tricky to deal with. So you're not flying around through airplanes to get around. You'll be taking buses that will go on for as long as 6 hours to overnight buses that last for 12 hours. And you have to sleep on the bus. So those are some of the examples. And then another one would be living as well, so accommodation, which is instead of a hotel, you go with hostels. So those are significantly cheaper, but it does get to a point where you have to share rooms with other people. But it's also a great way to meet new travelers as well.
New travelers,
so
yeah.
There's always a more cheaper way for every option, I'd say. It's just a matter of what you're willing to push up with it, to go with it. So are you willing to sacrifice comfort? Are you willing to sacrifice your privacy? Hygiene could be another possibility
issue.
As well. Not every single place is pristine, unfortunately. Sacrifice Wi-Fi. Some places have terrible Wi-Fi, especially on islands. Can you sacrifice a hot shower? So when I was in the Philippines, I had a cold shower every single day for the first, I'd say 20 days, which is not so fun, even though it's a tropics, but I still like my hot shower. So there's still many things you have to compromise when it comes to budget traveling, but it's so doable, which is why many of the people that you meet along the way are also usually students and or people taking gap years and that saved up for it because you're budget traveling and you also get a more authentic experience out
authentic
of it because
experience.
Yes, you meet locals and you also do the cheapest option, which usually is a bit more dodgy sometimes. It's not as pretty or manicured. So, for example, if you go through a local tour guide instead of a guide you booked off the internet, you might have more local food, more local interactions with the people instead of having a fancy buffet lunch with elephants. Like, it really depends how far you can go with it, in a sense. So it's definitely possible, and I'd highly recommend every single person out there to at least try this once in their life. It's not everyone's cup of tea, that's for sure, but it's an incredible experience either way.
That's very beautiful, and you've just highlighted the power, traveling and trying to be an adventurer. There's something always good about it. And even the times that I got to explore just a forest, a new route, a new hiking route, it has always been so, beautiful, so nice, or captivating, I would say, captivating. And why I liked the point of if you really immerse yourself into it was like, sometimes we tend to nowadays go on vacations or whatever that we would call them, trips, hiking, camping. But it changes from its essence of, going to release the stress or release everything that has been with you throughout the year. And it's like, I want to show off, or I want to showcase. So we sometimes lose the authenticity of the trip. And we end up just, we went, but when we evaluate the person going and coming back, there's kind of not that much of a difference, although they have photos and their Instagram would be maybe full and stuff. So you have highlighted how it is a healthy option. You can go for cheaper options and it is a rewarding experience, And along the way, you were mentioning you meet new backpackers, you meet new travelers along the way, and they're like maybe new friends, they're new, they become new, fellow travelers, all right? And from time to time, you have this, you have established an essence of communication, from time to time, you check on each other since they're new friends, then, right? And you have your regular friends, and it shows that there is conversations are important, right? Communication, conversations are important. So maybe you can also highlight on the how has conversation been have impacted your life, having conversations, different conversation, hard, soft, long, short, and especially the impact of having meaningful conversations. How has it been so far?
Oof, that's a deep question. So it's been incredibly, just incredible. And I find, because I love learning and being curious about experiences, culture and all that, I love to have conversations. So whether it's the surface level conversations where you're really just starting to get to know each other, so, you know, the typical, where do you come from? How long have you been here? Where have you been? Yes, and so on. But then when you pass that surface level conversation, you start going into the deeper stuff. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful because everyone is so different and so unique, and Nors has so something different to share, something to add to your insights, your way of thinking. And be like, oh, okay, I didn't know you could do that. Or like, and every single person's journey is always somewhat different. Like, you're never going to find one that's exact same.
Right.
And that's the beauty of conversations. It just shows you all the possibilities of the world and that there's no right way or wrong way in life.
Yeah.
And because of these meaningful conversations, it's just shown me that there are a lot of possibilities in life and to have faith in the process. And if you make a few little mistakes or encounter a few hiccups along the way, it's just part of life, the process. You just gotta push through and move on. But you have to have faith in the process and just know that it will work out for you, I think, because it's, there's no right way, wrong way, I personally believe. And just to, and if you can be happy with what you have and truly content, you just know everything's gonna work out for you. And and if you just keep working hard, putting yourself out there and just keep showing love and curiosity for life and everything the world has to offer, I just feel like everything will be fine.
Something will work out, right?
So yeah, those meaningful conversations really do add a lot to my overall perspective and everything. And yeah, I love it. And whether it's in the traveling setting, whether it's with my international friends, or even in a networking environment, and I'm talking to a person who's an old businessman who's like 50, 60 years old, but just even hearing of his experiences, it's just like, okay, the world has changed a lot since then. But yes, this is always something interesting out of these conversations. So yeah,
you mentioned that, and it's like you reminded me the first time we had a conversation, and it was just, you know, enlightening to find and converse with people, that with someone especially, that you see that, okay, so there is someone who has a vision, a mindset just like me or similar to mine. And you know, so it just continues to highlight the point of, you know, conversations are essential, because every person you encounter, as I like to say here on the Self-Seed podcast, that we will, I believe that every story is worth sharing. So every person that you encounter, something that they will share with you is something new that you write in your life memory, and it's going to go with you. Some things, some people, you just meet them once and they say just a line, a phrase, and you have kept that in your mind, and it's like an automatic thing that happened. And as you go on in life, it's like it becomes a principle in your life, and you know, impacts happen. And conversations, you just highlighted. And as we go to almost the end of the conversation, what I learned from you, what I saw from you, is especially you and Ella, right? I saw that you have this spark of trying, having the spark of transforming lives, right? And you want to impact people. You want, I remember on the phone call, you told me, I just feel like, I don't know what I was brought to do, but if I just impact life, if I just change someone's life, that I think that's what is going to be for me. I really don't know what exactly I should do, but I think when I just help someone, I positively impact someone, that will be something great for me. So how has that been transforming lives, you know, especially you have this Expat Excel and other maybe endeavors and so on. How has that been since the conception of the vision that I want to empower my fellow young people, and how has it been going? Is it rewarding? Is it having that thing in you? Is it
definitely very, very rewarding, because I find it makes me very overwhelmed with happiness when I see people that have gained something from it all, you know, and they're like, wow, that's really changed my way of thinking, or it gave me courage to do something, the confidence to really put myself out there and try new things. And, you know, it just feels amazing when you've impacted someone in that positive way, even if it's very small, but it's still positive in a way, and that makes me feel very warm, I guess you could say, and very happy. And I knew this was something that I wanted to continue doing, and I feel like what Ella and I do with the Expats Excel is definitely helping me continue that on a, I guess you could say, a bigger scale. And I've had some, like, connected with some lovely, lovely people that have attended our last webinar with Aziz, and they were all so, so lovely, so kind, and like the comments that I got after were just really, really lovely, and it just made me realize how positive of an impact this was, even though it might not feel big at the time. But I know
actually that webinar was nice.
Thank you. It was nice. Appreciate that. It was very, very well done, and I was very proud of our speaker. But like, hopefully down the road we can just continue doing that. And but at the same time, I like to continue being able to create a positive impact on other people's lives.
That's very nice. And it's, yeah, I agree with you, and I walk with you down that lane, that it's so fulfilling and it's so satisfactory, especially when you know that you have helped just one person, one close friend of yours, you have helped one family member, you have helped one stranger, as we may put it, just you help them navigate or overcome or face what they were facing. It's just, and especially in this aspect of adding value to people's life, I think that's so nice. That's why I also look at myself sometimes, and I see all this hard work that I try to put in these things that I do, and it's like I'm more empowered, not by the current views or the current I would say the current flow of the thing, right? The current feedback. But I am more looking to, okay, at least one person listen to my, let's say, podcast, listen to the podcast, and he or she enjoyed and got something out of that conversation, because that's the most good feeling that you can get, that when someone tells you, oh yeah, I listened to your last episode, and yeah, it was really helpful, it was really, you know, impactful, and just keep going. And yeah, I think it ends up that you don't just look at the numbers, more you look at the, am I really doing the goal that I had set for myself? Am I reaching? I wanted to transform a number of lives, right? I want to do that, and am I going gradually towards that goal? Have I made a step? And it's, when you look at it, you're like, even if I don't know what's the plan, but even if I go right now, maybe, yeah, I'll be happy. I'll say, yeah, I tried my part. Yeah. And maybe, yeah, I would like to remind the person listening, if you're new to the podcast, this is the Self-Seed Podcast. And if you're wondering, who is that speaking? That's Emmanuel speaking, the host of the Self-Seed Podcast. And today we are with Nicola Lee, and she is an awesome young person in Shanghai. She's pushing life, and she has been sharing with us some good stories about our life, and we have had an awesome conversation so far. And if you're new to the podcast, remember that you can subscribe at least to the podcast. Or you can just comment and let me know what you think, or you can just answer the question that I've placed on the podcast. And if you're listening until now and you want to listen to more episodes, just open your favorite platform, maybe Spotify, maybe YouTube, or just go to www.selfseed.transistor.fm and voila, go throughout more episodes and continue learning. So Nick, we go back and we almost finish, and this is the point where I ask you for, let's say I'm on this spectrum and I stand with others, and what could be your advice? I know you're navigating life, you're still I could say that we are still fresh in life, but time is running and time will run. Eventually we'll stay somewhere and you look where you're going and where you came from, and maybe you'd say, I wish, or I hope you don't say I wish, I mean, because you're living life well. So what advice would you have for a fellow young adult, young adult, like someone like you listening, a lady, a guy somewhere out there, and they're wondering, okay, what am I, at least they didn't listen properly from the beginning to this point. Maybe they can listen to your little advice or greater word of wisdom.
I'd say my little bit of wisdom that I like to share with everyone, whoever's listening to this podcast, is that love yourself. Have some, validate yourself and respect yourself. And it sounds simple, as simple as it sounds, it's extremely difficult, because I feel like, especially the younger generation, we have a tendency to people please, to seek validation from others, and that requires us to change some manner of ourselves, to behave a certain way, or speak a certain way. And I feel at the end of the day, really just love yourself as much as you can. Be happy with how you look, how you feel, how you behave, and just have confidence. And that's when you truly shine, I feel. And I hope that every person can at least reach to somewhat of that state where they're at least able to love themselves, because you really do shine. And I think that's beautiful when you see people that are like that, and it's inspiring. So I like to, that's my little bit of advice. I just hope everyone can learn to love themselves, be content with themselves, and and that just in a sense makes life a lot more easier later on. You're less pessimistic about things,
right?
And you feel a lot more happiness within yourself, I feel. So that's a bit of love I like to share with everyone.
I like your advice, and it's not little wisdom, it's great wisdom, because I'm trying to correlate with the point where, you know, Jesus said, you know, at least love your neighbor the same way you love yourself, love your neighbor as you love yourself, meaning he understood the essence of us loving ourselves. It can help you if you know how to love yourself, you can definitely love another person. You can definitely bear with the things that life can throw at you, especially from other people.
True.
That's a great wisdom. Don't say it's a small wisdom. Great.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel.
Love yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Love yourself, because then you will learn what it means to love another person. You will have an optimistic outlook of life on life. So remember to love yourself properly. And to this junction, I've enjoyed the conversation, and I am enjoying the conversation, and hopefully we'll have another episode of this podcast. Because I like, maybe later on I'll love just to sometimes just, you know, co-host with people, multiple people, and just not me asking questions, but rather, you know, having a conversation. So hopefully we can have another podcast session. But At this point, I'd like to welcome you to share your, how can people connect with you? I mean, we have listened to you, and maybe someone is like, okay, the next trip, I need to plan the next trip. And next trip, maybe I might bump into Nicola. And so, you know, at least. Okay, so this is the point where I invite you to, the field is yours to extrapolate. Is that even a correct word to use? But yeah, to expand about what you do, how can people connect with you, or how can people connect with what you do? You know, for just the beginning, you have like Expert Excel, you guys work on that, and there's greater and greater things you're maybe looking forward to. So this is the point. Welcome. Feel at home, feeling the podcast, but yeah, feel at home. I hope you enjoyed the stay in our house. So this is the time where you now share more now. This is where you get more comfortable.
Yes. So I'm reachable through, I say probably the most efficient one would be WeChat. So Nicola2266, that's my username. So if you have any questions in terms of travel, settling down in Shanghai, or even have any interest in joining the our webinar series, Expat Excel, where we not only organize webinar series but also offline events in Shanghai and promote other ongoing business events, feel free to flick me a message. Or if you just want to connect and say hi and just have interesting conversation, perfectly welcome that as well. And yeah, so it's been an absolutely wonderful time here, and I've loved sharing. Thank you for having me, Emmanuel, because
you're very much welcome. Thank you for accepting.
And I hope at least the listeners of this podcast get some sort of valuable takeaway from it, whether it be something big or small. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
I have a little bit of a takeaway, so don't worry. I'm sure there's another person, or at least one.
Oh, at least one.
Me. Yeah,
I've achieved my goal.
I am the first one, so there might be another person who has taken something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thank you very much for accepting to be on today's episode. And this was episode 16. Maybe it should be called episode... Anyways, yeah, it's almost maturing age. So yeah, it was a great episode, and I really enjoyed how you shared your life experiences and made it all seem that, yeah, you know, any part of the world, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it's possible to become who you are or live the dream that you want. It's not necessarily that you should have everything in life for you to be able to start living the life that you want and be happy and be content and be satisfied and feel fulfilled. So thank you so much for accepting to be on this podcast. This is the Self-Seed Podcast. And since we are a friend in personal development, we love how we have, I hope I have helped another person add one more friend to their personal development journey, to their career, to their whatever that they are going through, to their life. Yeah. Today we were with Nicola Lee, and she was showing us how to embrace the Shanghai hustle. Well, Shanghai is a big city. It's one of the mega cities in the world. So I hope, as a listener, you got something. But we didn't only talk about Shanghai. This is just a title. We talked about, you know, travel. We talked about how to embrace life as it comes. We talked about Nick's journey. You know, she just made me understand kiwi, the kiwi fruit, the kiwi bird, and yeah, what they call New Zealand's kiwi. So yeah, I didn't pay attention before. So thank you for the lessons, and thank you for sharing with us different aspects, and for how you have been free to share with us a lot about your life. Thank you once more.
Thank you.
All right, dear listener, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're new to the Self-Seed Podcast, remember that on Spotify, I usually put a question at the end, like there's a question. So do help me by, you know, answering that question. Yeah, whatever the question that will be. And if you're listening on YouTube or any other platform, just let me know what you think about the podcast. Are you learning something? Is the journey worth it? Is there a spark of transformation in your life? And okay, who else do you want me to have on the podcast? Or when do you want me to have Nick again on the podcast? If you enjoyed our conversation, do let me know that we should repeat. Oh no, we shouldn't repeat the conversation, but I should bring her. So we should repeat the session. So yeah, remember to subscribe or just, subscribe. Yeah, my name is Emmanuel and you can reach on Instagram at EboDaily and on WeChat, I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, most definitely remember to check out www.ocgroup.com, who are today's episode sponsors, and they have some cool stuff coming in April. So remember to check in and get to know what they have. Until next time. This is Emmanuel, and this is the Self-Seed Podcast. And today we are with
Nicola Lee.
Nicola Lee. And it was nice having you. So take care and keep living a good life.